Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening. We're on here every Sunday night at this time. Last Sunday night, Bible Crossfire was about the necessity of obedience to our salvation. And toward the end of the program, a caller charged me with teaching a works-based salvation. But all we did was quote passages like Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, and being made perfect, he, talking about Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Wouldn't that say we have to obey Jesus in order to be saved, to receive eternal salvation? Also, we quoted Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Wouldn't that also say that we have to obey, do the will of the Father in order to go to heaven? Is that teaching a works-based salvation just to quote those verses? The caller thought that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 means that obedience is not required for salvation. Let me read that. It says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he's missing the point of that verse. It isn't saying obedience is not required. The very next verse says we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And James 2:24 would contradict that understanding. That verse reads, You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. What Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is discussing is the earning basis for our salvation. What actually saves us? Well, we know that's the death of Christ, the blood of Christ. James 2:24, when it says, You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, is saying that the salvation provided for by Christ is conditioned upon our obedience. Now, for us to earn our salvation without the death of Christ, we would have to live our whole lives perfectly without even one sin. That's what Romans 4:4 is saying when it reads, Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If we work our whole life perfectly, not one single sin, then God would owe us salvation. We wouldn't need the blood of Christ to wash away our sins because we wouldn't have any sins. If you'd like to give me a call, the lines are open. 1-877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. I like to illustrate how Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is not mitigating against the necessity of obedience to salvation with the walls of Jericho. Remember, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says our salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. Well, Joshua chapter 6, verse 2 says, The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thy hand Jericho. So God gave the Israelites Jericho. That's what grace is, a gift. So they received Jericho by grace. Hebrews 11 verse 30 says, By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So the walls of Jericho fell by faith. And lastly, the walls of Jericho fell not of works. Joshua 24:13 says, And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. Now that sounds just like how Ephesians 2, 8, 9 talks about our salvation, doesn't it? Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says our salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. Well, we've just read three verses that show us that the walls of Jericho fell by grace through faith, not of works. But here's the question. Did the Israelites have to do anything for those walls to fall? Of course, they had to walk around those walls once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day for a total of 13 times. So, did they do that themselves? Did they knock the walls down themselves? No, they would have had to use sledgehammers and work, I don't know how long, forever, in order to knock those walls down themselves. They didn't do it that way. God knocked the walls down. But the Israelites still had to meet God's conditions. They had to walk around those walls 13 times. It's the same way with our salvation as it is with the walls of Jericho. We don't save ourselves. No, the death of Christ is what does that. But we still have to meet God's conditions. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. So the Bible teaches that we have to obey God to be saved, and it teaches our salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. Because Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is discussing the basis for our salvation. What earns our salvation? That's the death of Christ. James 2, 24, which says you're justified by works and not by faith only, it's not discussing the basis, it's discussing the fact that that salvation is conditional. We have to obey God in order to be saved, just like Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says. You know, many preachers say circumcision represents every command of God. So anytime we see a verse saying circumcision is not necessary, we should conclude that no commands of God are necessary. But actually, circumcision in the New Testament only represents Old Testament commandments, not New Testament commandments. In Acts chapter 15, verse 5, the Jewish Christians were teaching about Gentile converts that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So circumcision, being a part of the law of Moses, went hand in hand with keeping the law of Moses. When they were teaching those Gentile converts had to be circumcised, they were teaching they had to keep the law of Moses, just like the Jews had to do before Christ came. But we can easily tell from passages like 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19, that circumcision does not also represent New Testament commandments. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19. It says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Do you see from that verse then how that some commandments are not important, but some are? It says circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. Those are not important. But the keeping of the commandments of God, those commandments are important. Well, what's the difference? The circumcision and the uncircumcision, that's representing the Old Testament commandments. But the keeping of the commandments of God, those that are important, are New Testament commandments. You see the difference? Troy from Spokane, Washington, you're on the air.
It's true that we do obey, but we obey because we are saved, not to get saved. Isn't that true?
Well, your name's Tony, right?
Yeah.
Tony, what do you think about Hebrews 5, verse 9, and being made perfect, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that say that we have to obey God in order to be saved?
Yes, but if we are saved, you receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, that will lead you to obedience.
Well, how about this verse?
Yeah.
1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Do you see that we purify our souls by obeying the truth? It's not that our souls are purified first and then we obey the truth, but we obey the truth in order to have our souls purified. Do you see what I mean, Tony?
Yeah.
All right. How about Revelation 22:14? It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You see, what that's saying is not, we don't do his commandments because we are saved. Well, that's true too, but that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying that we do his commandments so that we'll have a right to the tree of life. In other words, that's going to be in heaven so we can live eternally and so that we can enter into the gates of the city of heaven. You see my point, Tony?
Yes, I do. That's true, but
how about one more verse, Tony?
Okay.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 says, talking about God, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, knowing God is equivalent to believing in God. And so, this says that God will take vengeance on those that don't know God and those that don't obey the gospel. That implies that not only do we have to believe in God, we have to obey the gospel. Tony, you have any more follow-up?
No, the only thing, I was involved in a legalistic cult, and they were very legalistic. And sometimes I just have problems with this type of thing, that's all.
Tony, what do you mean by the term legalistic or legalism? Give me a quick definition for that, because sometimes people use it in different ways.
Well, it's basically trying to, by your own, so to speak, self-effort, try to please God with... it's difficult to define sometimes, but something of that nature, your own self-effort, rather than relying on the Holy Spirit.
Well, how about this, Tony?
Yeah.
How about if we rely upon God to save us and try to please Him by obeying Him? I don't see where those are mutually exclusive.
No.
Depend upon God to save us.
No.
Like Acts 2.38, let me give you an illustration of what I'm saying. Acts 2.38 says we have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Okay? Well, the very fact that we repent and are baptized shows that we're dependent upon God for the remission of sins. We're asking Him to forgive us of our sins by repenting and being baptized. We're admitting that we need His help. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Tony, thank you so much for your call.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So we're talking about circumcision, and there are a lot of verses that say circumcision is not important. But 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing. That's one of them. But it says, but the keeping of the commandments of God. We ought to be able to see by that that some commandments are not important and some are. The Old Testament commandments, since the Old Testament is no longer binding, that's not important anymore. Jesus nailed it to the cross, Colossians 2:14 through 17. But it says, but the keeping of the commandments of God, that is important. That must be talking about the New Testament commandments. That's why verses like Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 can say, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. That's talking about the law of the works of the law of Moses. The works of the law of Moses. You know, we read a while ago that it's 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That verse would say that if we have not obeyed the truth, our souls have not been purified, right? That's what it says. How about 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so it's true, based upon this passage and many others, that we will be judged based upon the things that we do, whether or not we obey God. God, whether or not we're pleasing to God, does have something to do with whether or not we obey Him. Sure, it also has something to do with Christ's death, because, as I said, unless we live our whole life perfectly without even one sin, we gotta have the death of Christ to be forgiven for those sins. So God wants us to depend upon the death of Christ, and God wants us to obey Him. If we claim to love God and we don't obey Him, we're a liar. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you have a Bible question or a comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. We use the walls of Jericho as an illustration. How about Naaman in 2 Kings 5, verses 9 through 14, as another illustration of the fact that when God does something, He many times will make the benefits conditional. That doesn't mean that we did it ourselves. It just means we're meeting God's conditions. There we have the story of God's prophet Elisha telling Naaman that he would be cleansed of his leprosy if he would dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Are all of you familiar with that story? After some hesitation, Naaman complied with that request, with those instructions, and he was cleansed. Now, did Naaman heal himself by dipping in water that had medicinal value? Absolutely not. God healed Naaman. But he only healed Naaman when Naaman met God's conditions. Naaman's obedience didn't heal him, per se, but his obedience was necessary for God to heal him. Our salvation is the same way. Let me give you a third illustration. And that's the illustration of the brazen serpent. In Numbers 21, 4 through 9, the children of Israel spake against God and against Moses. As punishment, God sent poisonous serpents to bite the people, and many died. Now the rest of the people repented and asked Moses to pray to God to take the serpents away. God instructed Moses to make a brass serpent, set it on top of a pole, and whoever would look on that serpent would live. Now, they did. Many of them did. Was the power of healing in the looking or in the pole? No, the power was in God. God healed the people when they met his condition of healing. You see what I'm saying? when they obeyed and looked at the serpent, did they heal themselves? No, God did the healing. But God only did the healing when they met his condition. If you'll look upon that brazen serpent, I'll heal you of a snake bite. Now, it's the same with our salvation. Our works do not earn our salvation. That's what Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is saying in similar verses. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Titus 3, 5 say about the same thing. Our works do not earn our salvation. The death of Christ does that. Salvation is by grace. It's by his mercy. But obedience is a condition of God we must meet in order to be saved. Just like the Israelites had to walk around those walls for them to be knocked down by God, just like Naaman had to dip 7 times in the Jordan River to be cleansed of his leprosy by God, he didn't cleanse himself, just like the Israelites had to look upon that brazen serpent in order to be healed of their snake bites, they didn't heal themselves, God did it, they still had to meet God's conditions. In the same way, God provides our salvation from sin, but in order to receive it, we have to meet his conditions. One of my favorite songs states the conditions, trust and obey. God, Jesus, died for everybody, even the atheist out there. But not everybody's going to be saved. The difference is, according to John 3:16, whoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. And so it is conditional. And we learn from 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, not only must we believe in God, but we must obey the gospel, or God will take vengeance upon us with flaming fire. Sharon from Missouri, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I really appreciate getting the word out here. I have a question about obeying the commands of Jesus. Go out and baptize all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and obey all that I have commanded you. Now, I know about the Mosaic Law, you know, the Ten Commandments, but what else is there to obey? How much of a big arrangement of laws do we have to consider, like the taking care of the widows and the orphans and the Mosaic Law? What exactly are all of these commandments? So,
well, first of all, and we've done 2 or 3 programs that talked about this, Sharon, the Old Testament law was only for the Jews, never for the Gentiles. You're probably a Gentile just like I am. It was never for the Jews. It was always for the Jews, and it was before Christ came. Colossians 2, verse 16 says that verse 14 says that Christ nailed that law to the cross, took it out of the way, he blotted it out. So none of those laws in the Old Testament are for us today. Do you follow me?
It's like an example of what is sin back then to the Jewish nation who were just new, coming into the faith. Okay.
Exactly. And it also helps us to understand the new, because the New Testament is our law for today, but the New Testament law refers to those things in the Old Testament many times, so we need to study the Old Testament so we can understand our New Testament law today. And so what we need to do as Christians, I mentioned Acts 2, verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what we have to do to be saved. When we become a Christian, then we need to continually study the whole Bible, but in particular the New Testament, which is our law for today. And as we read it and study it, we'll see God's instructions that he gives out of love in the New Testament. And each one that we see, because we love God, we'll want to obey God. We'll want to do it. We'll want to put it in practice in our life. Does that make sense, Sharon?
Yes, it does. Now, I want to be obedient through all of our giving and all this and that. Okay, we have the wife and husband situation. The wife feels like that she needs to give to a certain thing, and then the husband is saying no, not to. You know, there's a verse that is talking about sacrifice is better than being obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now,
right.
when the wife wants to obey the Lord, but then we also are supposed to be subjective to our husband, and I'm really kind of, it's not a big, you know, problem in our marriage, but I do want to get that right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Sharon, first of all, the Bible does teach in passages like Ephesians 5 that the wife is to be obedient to the husband, but
yes.
I'm going to read you a verse. And I'm not going to be answer about the details in your marriage, because I don't know the details,
right.
Okay?
Right.
I'm going to just give you a general answer. a verse like Acts 5:29, they were trying to tell Peter and them to quit preaching, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, and this applies with the government too. As a Christian, we obey all the laws of the land. 1 Peter 2:13, Romans 13:1. A wife needs to obey her husband, Ephesians 5. But if the husband tells us to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, then we must obey God rather than men. Does that make sense, Sharon?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah. We just have kind of like a disagreement, like when we see, you know, things that we can give to, like, orphans in another country or whatever. You know, if I was to say, I really want to give to this, and then he's saying, no, we got to check it out, and he's against it. I just feel like there's a little bit of, I want to obey the Lord. And I'm the one that does all the bills. But he still has a say to what goes out. And it's just kind of like so if I feel like the Holy Spirit is really telling me to do something, then we should pray about it, I guess, right?
Sharon, the Holy Spirit tells you to do something through God's Word. Through God's Word. That's how he tells you to do something. Don't be mistaken by feelings. A lot of people have this feeling.
Right.
They think the Holy Spirit's talking to them. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, it's because you read it in the book that the Holy Spirit wrote, the Bible. We certainly appreciate that call. We're going to have to go off the air in just a few minutes. If you have a quick Bible question or comment, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. My friend Tommy Thrasher gave this illustration. It's a quicksand illustration. Say you're in the quicksand and you're going to die. Somebody didn't help you, but there's somebody there and they're throwing out a rope to you to pull you out. It's obvious that it's not enough just to believe that that person can pull you out of the quicksand. If you want to be rescued, you're going to have to take hold of the rope. You can't say, I'm not going to take that rope. I believe that you can do it. You'll sink if you do that. The same way in religion. It's not enough just to believe that God can save you. You have to take hold of the rope. You have to not only believe in Jesus, but you have to take hold of the rope. You have to obey Jesus. Isn't that what Hebrews 5 verse 9 is saying? Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. That proves that unless you obey him, you will not receive eternal salvation. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So those who claim to be believers, but they're not obeying, they're not doing the will of the Father which is in heaven, they're not going to be saved. They may call Jesus Lord, but they're not going to be saved. You have to believe and obey. As I said, one of my favorite songs, you have to trust and obey. 1 Peter 1 verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. We have to obey the truth in order for our souls to be purified. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The only way we're going to go to heaven is if we believe in Christ and do his commandments. That's what Revelation 22:14 says. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Talking about heaven. We appreciate you listening this evening. Tell you what, if you would like to request a topic that I deal with in the future, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com, suggested topics, and I'll deal with them.